Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, a crime has been committed.
Okay.
A big crime. So much, so big that the person that is wanting answers for this crime is offering up a $50,000 prize to someone who comes forward with any information.
I stand by the fact that I put this money up there because it is a fashion crime. What are you wearing today, Jess?
How very dare you. How very dare you.
You should be locked up and throwing the key away.
It's not about me, Tim. It's about the world's only painting sheep.
What?
Yeah.
It's sheep that paints. Art.
Yes.
Okay.
Its name is...
No.
No.
What do you think I'm going to
say? Yeah, I don't. It's going to be like Picasso, Barcasso or something. It's what is it?
Banksy. Give me some detective music, Tim.
All right, we're on the case. What's going on?
Banksy has been kidnapped from his art studio, and his distraught owner is offering a 50,000 euro reward to get him back.
I mean, it must be big news if it's made its way across the pond here to Australia, let alone to Geelong.
Well, Banksy was following in the footsteps of his predecessor, a painting pig. What do you think this pig's name is?
Vincent van Oink.
So close.
What is it?
Picasso.
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 That's really good.
So Picasso has recently died, unfortunately, very sadly, but not before his artwork was purchased by the likes of like George Clooney and other celebrities.
Right.
It was very big in the animal art world. And now Banksy really took over.
There's one in the Bellarine. Have you heard of the cow that can paint?
No.
Leonardo da Milkme.
Okay. Not real. These are real artists. Give them some respect, please. Banksy.
Yeah, sorry.
Took up a brush after watching Picasso in action and began to copy her and made like quite a fair bit. Like, these paintings can go for like 20, 30K.
Oh, wow.
It's insane.
So you're telling me Leonardo da Milkme's got competition? One of the most famous cows on the Bellarine.
No.
If you live on the Bellarine and have a cow that can paint,
please
give us a call. 5223 2955.
Banksy's owner has hired two top private investigators who promised to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah.
But they are offering this award. They've had no luck so far in finding this absolute superstar. But I mean, some of these paintings, Tim, like. Can you describe that kind of artwork?
It's deco. Not sure it's art deco, but it's deco for sure. Tell you what, I've heard other stories about this, about the pig in Bannockburn.
The pig,
yeah. What,
a close cousin of Picasso.
Michael Hamgio.
Have you been ignoring me just to think of
that? I actually don't know what you've said because I was so busy coming up with...
It's so bad.
Leonardo da Milkme. Michael Hamgio. They've got to admit, I feel like I'm coming up with better names for these artist animals.
What's wrong with Banksy?
I don't know why I get more angry every time you say it. Okay, so the sheep has gone missing. It's not good.
Yes.
People want to
know.
If you
have any question, any answers and you want to claim this, you know, 50 pound, euro prize, it's like $100,000 Australian.
It's a lot.
Like, get involved if you have any answers.
Unless you have the wool over your eyes. And they're trying to cover it up.
Okay. Try and help
that'd
out.
That'd be bad.
An artistic
real
sheep.
Bad. Again, I don't know what you've said, but I had a good time.
I'm glad you did.
This is Tim and Jess.
I saw something yesterday, Jess, allegedly a viral cookie recipe that's doing the rounds online. I said to you, and we'll get into the recipe up next, but I was like, everyone's saying, I know this shouldn't work, but it does.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if it's one of those ones where it's like, no, it actually is delicious, or is everyone just making you make this foul thing?
It's like everyone's in on the joke.
And the joke is that people make it and eat it. We are going to put that to the lab. What did I bring to you yesterday?
You brought to me chocolate chip Spam cookies.
Yeah. Canned meat.
Now, when I looked up the recipe when I got home, I stopped off at the supermarket, bought some Spam on the way home. Where do you think Spam is in the supermarket? Which aisle?
Like the canned section?
Yeah, you would think. It was like with the baked goods, which was strange.
Okay.
Anyway, I digress. So I get home and I look at the recipe, and there's two ways you can do this recipe. You can slice the Spam and sandwich it between two like bits of cookie dough.
Oh, wow.
And it, so it's just like a whole thin layer of Spam in the middle. Yeah. Or there's the way I went about it, which was the second method, where you dice the Spam up. You coat it in brown sugar.
Brown sugar, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then you bake it in the air fryer or the oven. I did it in the oven because I couldn't bother getting
You're
the air fryer.
You're a traditionalist. You know? Yeah.
I'm going to open this container because I feel like the smell is half the problem.
Oh, no.
Right?
So thank you so much, because we've brought these into the lab so we can test them so that now, you either can or don't have to.
Don't mind that I left them in the oven probably a little bit too long. Okay. So they're a little crispy.
No, I like a crispy cookie. So again, this is a choc chip cookie with... Spam.
I'm going to take a small one.
Well, you don't have to eat the whole thing. I'm going to have a good bite.
Here we go. Just take the whole thing because I want you to really cop a whiff of it.
All right.
We're going to do a taste test on the air. So, here's a little chunk of Spam that fell out of the cookie.
I mean, I'm not getting massive tones of Spam here.
Okay. Well, I did try and, the whole thing is that you make the cookie dough as you usually would, and then you take the cooked Spam and you mix it throughout the cookie dough, and then you make the balls.
Well, the whole argument is that this is the salt and the salty and the savory, like the sweet and the savory combination, which is technically the Spam is the salty. You wouldn't necessarily go canned meat for the salt. As you said yesterday, what about just salt?
Just a sprinkle of sea salt usually does the trick.
So when you take a bite, make sure you get some Spam in there.
Yep, I've got a little chunk of Spam. Here we go.
Let's give it a go so that people can see if they want it or they don't.
Oh.
It's going good until you get to the Spam.
Like, it's not bad, but it has a real Spammy aftertaste. Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Like, the cookie's so good. But and then it's ruined then
it's
by
got
the Spam.
Spam in it.
Mm.
It's not terrible.
Oh, it's not my go-to.
But I wouldn't give it to anyone I care about. Or even people I loosely know.
I feel like Spam's not cheap either. Like, maybe this used to be a cheaper recipe.
Oh, you go back.
Why'd you go for a second
time? It's somehow worse the second time. You have things that have aftertaste. This has a bad pre-taste.
Oh. You don't want your cookie to be meaty, you know?
Never thought I'd hear someone say that, if I'm being honest. I'm no whiz in the kitchen, but...
So meaty.
I've never heard Gordon Ramsay or Jamie Oliver say that line ever or seen it.
I feel like I definitely at least got it the better way, because having a layer of Spam in the middle probably would have been worse.
I'm still eating it.
There's more. Should I put them in the staff kitchen and see who takes it?
Just say, don't even say Spam.
There's
just say,
choc chip cookies available. I've got a reputation to uphold in this office. I can't just be putting Spam cookies out.
Well, like for allergy reasons, maybe just say like, just...
may contain traces of pork.
Yeah. just so that legally you're covered. But it's not good. It's not bad, but I'm continuing to go back to eat more.
I think you just like the cookie part.
Oh, there's the Spam again.
Yeah. Yep. I wouldn't be rushing to make this recipe again. Let's put it that way.
I'm sorry.
You're still eating it.
I'm hungry. I'm sorry. Okay. So if we have to give that, how many?
Out of five cookies, how many cookies are you giving it?
I was going to say, out of how many, like if you had five Gordon Ramsays, how many times is he dropping the F-bomb out of five there? I reckon that's 2.5 F-bombs.
Yeah, I'd give it that. It's not like the worst thing in the world. I'm trying to eat around the Spam.
I'd rather get a paper cut than have to eat it. Oh, sorry.
You're eating it still.
Yeah, I know. I like paper cuts. All right. Well, we've got a video coming to the... An internet.
Oh,
I hit Spam again in my
mouth. Yeah, it's deeply upsetting when you hit the Spam.
That's all right.
It's deeply upsetting.
Because there is the promise of chocolate to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, give it a go. Why not?
Don't give it a go.
Live your life. I ain't here to tell you what not to do. I finished the cookie.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want the rest of mine?
Well, nah, a bit Spam full. Okay, Rock. I can't believe it.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Yeah, we just had some choc chip Spam cookies.
The Spam taste lingers.
Well, yeah, it's lingering. I just said don't burp because it can get worse. Anyway, there will be a video. I think Digital Guy Chappie, he's going to get that up in the next hour or so. So you can see Jess baking it with the spam and everything. This is real. Chip and that canned spam.
Yeah. I did it, so you don't have to.
Something happened today. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Because it's a good thing in a human connecting way, but it's a bad thing with the choices I've made previously. I forgot my lunch today. Mm-hmm. I've been making some sandwiches lately, and I was actually so devastated because I've been really...
You had a great sandwich yesterday.
I've been really craving just like a, don't burp, don't burp. I told you not so to burp. It's so bad. It's a spam burp. Anyway,
yeah.
So what I had to do was I was like, oh, damn it. I'll just get takeaway for lunch, whatever.
Mm.
And there's a place that I love going to. It's very close to the radio station.
Is this our favourite dumpling place?
Yeah, it's a dumpling place, but I really love their dumplings, but I really like their fried rice.
Yes.
This is the place where we went and did the rice heist last year, which if you missed it, we were trying to figure out if you got more fried rice takeaway or eat in.
Yes.
And we took it, we stole it. We didn't steal it. We were like, we pretended we had to leave.
Yes.
And blah, blah, blah. Turns out you get more rice. Was it takeaway?
Yes, it was takeaway. Yeah.
So go there a lot. I have you can order online. I have an account with this place. When you go in, when I've gone in the past, they'll be like, hi, how can I help you? And I'll say, oh, order for Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I walked in, they handed me the bag straight away. They're like, Tim. And I was like, they know me by name.
Maybe it's just you, because you're a frequent orderer. Or maybe it's just because they had no other orders.
The place is packed.
Oh,
so the thing is, because it means they know, because I order the same thing pretty much every time. And it's the same girl that's always there when I go in. I go there too much.
Yeah.
Because she now knows my name.
Yeah. This is like...
And that's a good thing because it's like, all right, in this world, we're just two strangers and this is how we're connecting. I've connected with a person, but it's because I have a terrible habit of buying fried rice from the same place.
You're acting like this has never happened before. Remember when we were working in South Australia and the lady at KFC remembered your order?
Oh, well, yeah. You did keep telling everyone to take photos of me in the drive-thru. Just get dozens of photos every month of me at different KFCs.
Because your tap and go didn't work on your card.
Yeah.
And so she'd be like, that's right. Your tap doesn't work.
Yeah.
No worries, Tim.
So, and that was a red flag.
Mm.
And now I'm seeing for the first time in a long time. So that, I'm like, it's a good thing, but I think it's a bad thing. 5223295, is that a bad thing? If you order takeaway so much they know your name?
I think it's the dream, you know? You want a place to become like such a regular for you that you're known there by name.
But as much as I love that, I also can only look at it through a financial perspective. Because I go,
have you
figured
out how much you've spent at that place?
Well, pretty much, it costs like $16 every time I get...
Okay, money bags.
Well, I know, this is the thing. And I look at that and I go...
You would have spent at least a couple hundred bucks. Yeah.
So I'm looking at it through that lens. Sarah from Belmont's giving us a call. Sarah, hello.
Hello.
Is this a bad thing that the takeaway place Nobi by name?
No, because I've got a takeaway place, a fish and chip shop that know me by name and also by the original creator of Crunchies.
What? What?
So the original creator of Crunchies from Wilson's Road Fish and Chip Shop, he just drips batter in the fryer and puts them in a bag and I get salt and vinegar. Vinegar sprayed on them and then with salt.
Sarah, this sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Do I go in and ask for the Sarah? Is
okay,
that...
Well, hang on. This is not a... Sarah, so I think... But see, for me, I think of a fish and chip shop and I go, no, that is a good thing because that feels more family. Like fish and chip to me is always family.
Hey, our dumpling place is very much like family.
Yeah, well, it's one-way financially. Yeah. Waiting for them to buy me lunch, but Sarah, we appreciate your call. So, all right, it's a good thing.
Yes.
It's a good thing. I'm investing in a small business.
Maybe they'll stop calling it the Szechuan fried rice and start calling it the Tim Bolch fried rice.
I would love the honour of that. That'd be excellent. Maybe I'll put it through my next order. Yeah. I am a member. I get VIP discounts.
Okay. Tim and Jess, the
podcast. Admittedly, we might sound borderline dumb for the next little bit.
We kind of always do. So
no, but this is It's a sad day. We're both actually feeling quite flat about this. Want to talk about a schoolroom, like a classroom game.
Yes. I played it at my school. You played it at your school.
Yeah.
I feel like all of us have played this at some stage.
And I think it's, I remember when we got to play this game that we're going to talk about, I was very excited.
I feel like now that I know so many teachers as my friends, I feel like this game was very much, I've run out of curriculum.
What's a 20-minute filler game? We were talking about the classroom game, heads down, thumbs up.
Yes. And you said to me, do you remember how this works?
Because I was like, I know the game.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what happened. So I remember everyone putting their heads...
Everyone's in their at their desks.
Yeah.
Heads down, thumbs up,
right? And closing your eyes.
And then there's someone that gets to touch a thumb.
Yeah,
and
like your thumb gets touched. You put it down.
And then you're the next person.
But like that's a weird game. Because
it's
like, just like...
It's like duck, duck, goose.
Well, yeah, because like if someone touches your thumb, you're not jumping up and chasing the thumb lord or whoever it was.
That's what they called them, the thumb lord.
But and we realized that we could go online and figure this out.
Is it you have to, as a class, you have to guess who's the thumb lord?
I don't know. 5223295 We wanted to open the phones, open ourselves up and say, hey, it's a sad day for us because we've forgotten how you play heads down, thumbs up.
We probably could Google it.
But that's the thing. I think it's better if we're trying to naturally remember this. And this is a sad part of our childhood that has faded away from memory. And it was a great game. It was a solid game, but I just don't remember how it works.
All I remember is getting really excited when I got to touch like my crush's thumb.
Ooh, girl.
It'd be like, I was the thumb lord.
That's like dropping off flowers at work.
Right?
But the primary school version. That's so true.
That's a core memory.
Yeah.
Not that I remember how the game works.
You just go up, you put your mouth over his thumb. Like, is this what we do? I don't know.
Do you lick the thumb?
5223295 How does heads down, thumbs up work?
Heads down and thumbs up. We've got that bit solid.
But how do you become thumb lord?
Is there a thumb lord at all?
Is the teacher even in the room? What's happening? I'm a bit concerned because you've said we've had a heap of people call up and they've all got different takes on it.
Well, I think they've all just got different ways of playing.
Okay.
But maybe they'll all have a general consensus as well.
Tennille in Cario, how do you play heads down, thumbs up?
Well, Jess has got the right idea, but there's multiple thumb lords.
Multiple thumb lords?
Okay.
You have to guess which thumb lord touched your thumb.
Oh, so do they go and stand at the front of the room?
Yeah.
So you're aware of who the thumb lords are?
Yeah, so you might have four thumb lords, and then they each go around and choose somebody, and if you choose the right person, then you swap with them.
Oh, you become a thumb lord?
Yeah.
Oh. And the goal is to be a thumb lord? Is that, like, at the end of the game?
Well, I'm not sure if... There's different ways of playing it, and it's just one that goes on sort of till everyone has a turn, or you do it and each thumb lord gets eliminated as they get guessed, and whoever is the last thumb lord is the winning.
All right. Okay.
Thank you very much, Tennille from Cario. Kelly from Roxburgh Park, is that how you remember heads down, thumbs up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there'd be like three or four thumb lords that are up the front. And they would got everyone put their head down, thumb up.
Yep.
Those three go and put down one thumb each.
So it's always just one thumb?
I thought you could pick multiple.
No, you put down one thumb, and then you've got to pick who was the person that put your thumb down.
Oh,
right.
Because Jess did bring up that, and I remember this part, like if your crush or you had a crush on someone and you thumbed them, that was like, that was the dream.
That was hot and sexy.
Well, I wouldn't use those words about the primary school game. But, yeah, thank you very much, Kelly, from Roxburgh Park. Lucy in Lethbridge gave us a call. Lucy, you were the first caller that got through. But we wanted to speak to you last for a very important reason.
Yes, because, Lucy, turns out that you have someone that's recently played heads down, thumbs up.
Yeah, that's correct. I've got my son in the car. He's a bit nervous, so he doesn't want to
before.
No,
okay,
that's fine.
That's fine. And how recently has he played Heads Down, Thumbs Up?
About a year ago.
Okay, perfect.
That's pretty recent.
Great. That's way more recent than Tim and I.
I'm on about the 20-plus yeah. years, and Jess is probably a bit over that.
Lucy, your son, does he remember it played out the same way that we've just heard from Tennille and Kelly?
Yes, except for sort of one kind of thing. There is no winner. It's a brain break. That's how they use it now, is that the teacher picks the four people that stand up the front. Those four people, you know, walk around the class and tap one person each, like one of the other ladies said, and then they go back, and if you guess correctly, then you sub out. So you become a so-called sub lord.
I don't know if this is a real thing, but it should be.
Lucy, what do they actually call them? Does your son remember? Like, who gets to be the picker?
No, there is no real name. It's just like whoever...
I like thumb lord.
Thumb lord works.
Yeah.
Take it all back right. to the schools.
Thank you very much.
If you're listening.
Lucy, we've got a family pass for you to go and see one of them days because you were the first caller to get through. So stay on the phone. We're going to get all of your details. I love, because it's essentially, we got the same answers, but it's different schools across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine have informed us about how they were playing.
Yeah.
So I understand. It makes sense that it's a brain break.
I feel like we should do it in our all-staff meeting.
But I was just remembering, like, do you remember like getting to the point where you would have your head down and you would have an eye open and look for their shoes to try and figure
no,
out.
No, I wasn't a dirty cheating cheater.
And that's why you were never a thumb lord.
This is Tim and Jess.
Mentioned it just before. For the first time in 12 months, this morning I got a haircut. Might not sound like anything crazy, but we mentioned it on the show a little bit because I wanted accountability from you, Jess. I even signed a contract to not cut my hair for a year because you always get to those awkward lengths and then you cut it, and I've never had the stones to do it. You made me sign a contract with some pretty heinous options if I did cut my hair.
Oh, yeah, and it was very legally binding. Yeah. I'll have no one say otherwise.
Well, I signed it.
Yeah.
So it was like shave my head, shave my eyebrows,
mutton chops, all these things. Yeah.
I managed to push through. It would go through phases because, again, I've never grown my hair long. And the whole thing was I wanted to be like, hey, can I be accountable for something? Said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it.
I think the real reason you did it is because your wife said that you'd look hot with long hair.
Well, she's been saying it for years. Yeah. And I just kept saying, no, I was like, I like this, like,
you had to get through
fade.
The awkward, like, Hanson phase. Yeah. And I think you've done that
and
successfully.
It would go through phases where I'm like, I don't like this. And then it would just sit nice for a week or two and I go, all right. And then it would go into another awkward phase. Yeah. And it got quite long, quite wavy. A few nicknames that were floating around the office, which are, you know, work with your friends. It's always a nice, safe environment. Carol Brady, Dickie Knee, Weird Al Yankovic. You know, all real nice
Tom
things.
Green.
Yeah. It's lots of really nice references.
Timu
there.
Chris Scott.
Yes.
Most of these were me, be honest.
Yeah. And it got to the point where it was a lot longer in the back than it was at the sides and the top. But apparently that's pretty common.
It was a little embarrassing when I curled my hair for the WNBL awards night and you and I had the same hairstyle.
You have to go home. I'm not doing this again. But yeah,
one of us has got to change.
So I was like, hey, it's been a year. All I want to keep it long, but I just needed to get it tidied up because the back was getting really long. Just wanted it to even out so now it can be long, keep growing out. Turns out.
What'd you ask for?
Well, before we even get to the barber. So I was FaceTiming mum and dad this morning because my son wanted to say hi. And I was like, oh, I'm getting a haircut for the first time in a year. And dad, who wasn't on FaceTime at this point, went, thank God. Like, so I was like, he's never mentioned anything about the long hair. And I was like, okay, so that's nice to know that he was grateful for that.
Yep.
And given this man in the 70s was a hippie with hair down past his shoulders. So it's rich.
So he knows.
He knows what it's like.
Yeah.
My wife went interstate to visit her family over the weekend. And she was like, oh, mum and dad said that you really need to get a haircut. I was like, oh, God, the in-laws are saying that it's looking ridiculous as well. When I went to the barber, I go see this guy, Ben, in East Geelong. He's an absolute star. I've been going to him since I moved to Geelong. I haven't seen him in a year. And it was like I'd seen a long-lost family member.
Yeah. He probably thought you were dead.
Yeah, he's like, I thought you'd moved.
Yeah.
I was like, no, just growing out. And he's like, look at all this hair. He's like grabbing it like he's never seen hair in his life.
Yeah.
He's like, look at this. It's beautiful.
Did he get the clippers out?
Well, he's like, why are you here? It's so good. Why would you want to cut it? And I was like, I, as a joke, said, I want a buzz cut. And he said, I will not cut your hair.
Wow.
He's like, I don't want your money. Go to some other butcher. He starts yelling at him. He's like, I cannot cut this hair. And I was like, I'm joking.
Yeah.
And he was like, good. Because he's like, if you ask for a buzz cut, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I've seen your hair short before. We need to keep it this long. So just tidy it up. But yeah. I didn't realize that this was such a...
dramatic difference.
And I, you know, I try not to be like a diva in life. But I've been walking around and everyone's commenting on it.
Yeah.
Everyone's,
because it looks like you've cut it on purpose now. Like it's long on purpose. It's not just I've been on a desert island for 150 days by myself.
Okay. Super specific amount of days. Extra hurtful.
It was more like 250.
So the only thing I did notice is haircuts are not cheap
like
they used to be.
But you won't have to get this one done as often.
No, I said I'll see you in 3 months.
Yeah.
So I'm scaling it back this time. But yeah, expensive. And yeah, got yelled at a lot today, which I wasn't really thinking about for a haircut.
See, again, I just want to reiterate, I'm a great friend because I told you to your face.
Yeah. So brave.
How many times over the last year have I told you to get a haircut?
More than I'd like to know.
Mainly because I wanted you to have button chops. Yeah,
and shaved eyebrows.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
Get down on it. That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.